Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And this morning we gather together as the saints of the Lord Jesus Christ to observe the sacrament of communion. This day, this Lord's Day, is commanded by God to be set apart as a holy day for His people. But today is a day in which we celebrate the feast of the cross, the sacramental meal where we commune with our risen Savior in remembrance of His atoning sacrifice on behalf of His people. So let us consider this sacrament by hearing the inspired Word of God from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Thus far, the reading of God's Word, let us now ask His blessing upon it. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this Word which You have given us, this Word which makes the simple wise and enlightens the soul, this Word which is sure, this Word which instructs us in the ways that we should go. Father, we pray that You would bless the reading of this Word. As it has gone forth, we ask that as the sower planting his seeds, that the Word would go forth and plant in the hearts of all those who have heard it. And Lord, we pray that the hearing of this Word will have not been a passive listening, but an active and conscionable hearing. That we would hear this Word preached to us from the heart and with the heart. That it would be received in our hearts and transform our hearts. And that it would drive us to a greater devotion for You, our Lord. And now as we approach the preaching of this Word, we ask Your blessing upon that. We ask that the Spirit would be given in a greater measure to Your minister this day. That he would be able to rightly expound the Word of God and apply these truths to our hearts. Lord, we pray that the preaching would not be in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. We ask that the minister would decrease so that Christ Jesus would increase. Lord, show us Christ this day. Father, bless our time together. And let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. One of the greatest dangers that you can do as a member of Christ's church is to partake of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. And if we were to read a little further in our passage this morning, we would see the apostles' warning against eating and drinking in an unworthy manner, that it is a cause for some in the church to be sick or even to die. Great care has been taken by many pastors and theologians to show the importance of self-examination and preparation before coming to the Lord's table. And so that's why in our communion seasons we have preparatory services, so that you can be confronted with the law of God and see where the work of preparation must be focused in your own life. We as believers must be shown our sins and our wants, where we have failed to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, where we have failed to love our neighbor as ourselves. And then after being confronted with your sins, you are presented Christ, the glorious Savior of mankind, who took the sins of His people and nailed them to the cross. It is in Him that you find forgiveness for your sins and are clothed in His righteousness. And that is what makes you worthy to come to the table and to partake of these elements. But oftentimes, we neglect to consider one aspect of preparation to partake in a worthy manner. Something which is of such great importance that it separates the sacramental meal from merely eating some bread and wine like you may do in any other meal. What I'm referring to is that the Lord's Supper is actually more than just eating a bit of bread or sipping some wine. There's so much more that we ought to have in mind when we partake of this sacrament. It is a remembering ordinance in which we meditate upon the sacrificial death of Christ. It is a strengthening ordinance in which the Holy Spirit really and truly applies the benefits of Christ to us, so that it becomes an effectual means of grace. These are aspects of the supper which much of the church as a whole have held onto and still teach regularly. But there's one aspect that the modern church seems to have let fade into the past. And yet, our Reformed forefathers understood this to be a vital aspect of the sacrament. And that is that the Lord's Supper is a covenanting ordinance. And so the exhortation to you today is to renew your covenant and partake of this covenant meal. And we'll consider this exhortation in three ways. First, by showing that the Lord's Supper is a covenant meal. Next, by seeing the act of covenanting in the supper. And finally, by observing our covenantal duties following the supper. So first, let us consider that the Lord's Supper is a covenant meal. And to do this, we must understand what a covenant meal is. throughout the scripture, the people of God made covenant with Jehovah, and in an act of covenanting, they partake of a meal. In Genesis 31, 51 to 54, which we read earlier by the Lord's providence, we see this clearly in the three-party covenant between Jacob, Laban, and the Lord. And Laban said to Jacob, "Behold this heap, and behold this pillar, which I have cast betwixt me and thee. This heap be witness, and this pillar be witness, that I will not pass over this heap to thee, and that thou shalt not pass over this heap and this pillar unto me for harm. The God of Abraham, and the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge betwixt us." And Jacob sware by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount and called his brethren to eat bread. And they did eat bread and tarried all night in the mount. Here we see that the covenant that was made was one between parties which had previously been at odds with one another, but were now at peace with one another. There was peace between Jacob and Laban, and there was peace between those two and Jehovah. And that was signified by the sacrifice that was made. That sacrifice which signified the propitiation for the sins of Jacob and Laban before the Lord. And then in Exodus 23, we see that after the law was given, or Exodus 24, we see that after the law was given to the people and they gave their assent to it, the blood of the covenant was sprinkled upon the people, sealing that covenant with them. And then the representatives of the people partook of a covenant meal. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God, and did eat and drink. And perhaps the most important covenant meal for the Old Testament people of God was the Passover of Exodus chapter 12, that meal signifying the covenant that God made with his people to bring them out of bondage in Egypt and into the promised land. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire, and thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And it's in the context of that covenant meal, the Passover, that the Lord Jesus Christ instituted the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. In fact, each of the gospel accounts makes a point to show us this, that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper during the Passover. And while it may seem at first to simply show that Christ was replacing the old feast with a new one, he's actually foretelling the fulfillment of one covenant meal with another and instituting another. That's why when he took the bread and the cup and gave it to the disciples after, that's why he took the bread and the cup and gave it to his disciples after they had supped. It was the conclusion of one covenant meal and the institution of another. It was to show the continuity between the former administrations of the covenant of grace and the new which had come. In the words of Christ and the words of institution make this clear. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. The very same language that Moses said when he sprinkled the blood upon the people. This is the blood of the covenant. He doesn't say that the cup pertains to the New Testament, but that it is the New Testament. And the word testament here is also translated as covenant. The whole of the New Testament or the New Covenant is in it. It's in this meal. It has the sum and substance of it. Receiving this meal is receiving the covenant. Friends, when you come to this table and you partake of this meal, you must realize what you are doing. You're not simply scarfing a bit of bread and a sip of wine, but you are being invited by the Lord of glory, the King of kings, your Savior, Jehovah Himself, to come and sit at His table and sup with Him. What a glorious truth that is. Have you considered how marvelous a thing this is that you are invited to the Lord's table to commune with Him over a covenant meal? It's not the sacrificial lamb of old that is set before you this day. It is the spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. See that sacrifice which purchased peace between you and God in the act of making the new covenant. Christ's body broken for you. His blood poured out for the remission of your sins. And partake of these elements with a full understanding that you are partaking of the covenant meal of the New Testament church. Receive it with all holy reverence and attention as you wait upon God. Diligently observe the sacramental elements and actions and meditate upon Christ's death and sufferings. Do you hunger for Christ? Do you thirst for Christ? Do you long to commune with your risen Savior? Then come and feast on Him by faith as you partake of this covenant meal. If this supper truly is a covenant meal, and we've seen that it is, then there's a responsibility that is laid upon you in partaking of this feast. There must be an act of covenanting in this supper if this is a covenant meal. The primary act of covenanting that is seen throughout scriptures is that of giving and receiving. Under the Abrahamic administration, Jehovah gave to Abraham the promise that through him the nations would be blessed and his offspring would outnumber the stars of the sky. Abraham had the duty to receive that promise by faith, and it was credited to him as righteousness, Genesis 15:6. Under the Mosaic administration, Jehovah gave unto the people a land in which to dwell and the laws which were to govern their society as the chosen people, and their duty was to give heed to what the Lord had said and to endeavor to obey His commands. Exodus 24, verse 3 says, "And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said will we do." And now here, under the new covenant, the pattern is the same. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Giving and taking. Giving is God's part and taking is ours. God gives us bread and wine by His delegated officer, and we receive them from the minister as from His representative. The bread is His body broken for you, the one who is crushed for your sins and iniquities. Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5. "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." And the cup is the New Testament in His blood. His blood was poured out to reconcile us to God, and so now we drink of it in a spiritual sense, that we may be made partakers of that reconciliation. God gives Himself, His Son, His Spirit, His grace, His favor, and all that can be reasonably desired or truly wanted. He gives it to you in this supper. And so your duty is to take what He has given you, and by doing so, taking upon yourself the duties of the covenant. The terms of this covenant are simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Your salvation is what has been promised in this covenant. Your salvation is what has been purchased in this covenant by the breaking of Christ's body and by the shedding of His blood. And it is here in this meal that this covenant of salvation is sealed unto you. His blood is the seal and sanction of all the privileges of the new covenant. And when you partake of this sacrament worthily, you receive those privileges as your own. You have the new covenant, so you are now entitled to all the blessings of the new covenant. And those blessings are confirmed by Christ's blood. And so you have an obligation in this covenant now. And that obligation is to serve Jehovah with the entirety of your being. By participating in this meal, the covenant with Christ is ratified and confirmed to you. God confirms His promise to redeem those who come to Him through the cross of Christ. You, in turn, must promise faithful obedience as servants of Christ, whom you trust. Matthew Henry says that in partaking of these elements, the communicant is declaring, "We hereby resign, surrender, and give up our whole selves, body, soul, and spirit, to God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, covenanting and promising that we will, by His strength, serve Him faithfully and walk closely with Him in all manner of gospel obedience all our days. Claiming the blessings of the covenant, we put ourselves under the bonds of the covenant." Friends, it is by doing this, by taking on these obligations of the covenant to a life of faithfulness in the Lord, that you make this covenant your own. Our Directory for Public Worship emphasizes this as well when it states that the Lord's Supper is a covenant and pledge of their commitment to faithful discipleship and of their communion with Him and with each other as members of His body, the church. The covenant meal is also an act of remembering Christ. He commands us, "This do in remembrance of me." Covenant ceremonies and especially covenant meals are acts of remembering the gracious works of Jehovah towards His people. In these covenants found throughout Scripture, there is the underlying remembrance that the people are to have that the Lord will send a Savior to redeem His people. The sacrifices were a constant reminder of the sinfulness of man and the graciousness of God in providing a substitute in their place. The meal was a reminder that the Lord provides for His people out of His bounty. And so in this new covenant meal, it is Christ who offered Himself as the substitutionary sacrifice, as a propitiation for the sins of His people, that is to be ever in the forefront of your minds. This covenant is one which is to never be forgotten. It is an everlasting covenant unto all generations. In it we are assured that God will never forget this covenant because it is sealed with the blood of His very own Son. And it is also a means of assisting us in never forgetting this covenant ourselves by the applying of it to us by the Holy Spirit. And so to mindlessly partake of these elements without remembering Christ, who is spiritually present in them, is a terribly wicked thing. As you eat of the bread, meditate upon His back ripped open from beatings that He unjustly received. Meditate upon His hands and His feet that are pierced with nails as punishment for your sins. Meditate upon His brow, which is stuck with a crown of thorns that was intended to make a mockery of Him, but really only showed His royal status. His body was broken for you. Remember that. And as you drink of the cup, meditate on his blood that is poured out for the remission of your sins. Meditate on the fact that the perfect Son of God paid the ransom for your sins with the very life-giving blood that flowed forth from him. As you partake of this covenant meal, do so in remembrance of him. And finally, I want to end with our covenant obligations, our covenant duties following receiving this supper. The obligation placed upon the people of old was not a momentary thing that was solely tied to the act of covenanting. It was a perpetual obligation that they were to observe all of their days. And so it is with you, dear saints. The apostle says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." You are to ever be showing the Lord's death till he come. When we make covenants, we are declaring something to all who see. In this covenant meal, you are declaring the Lord Jesus Christ in his death on behalf of sinners to all who witness. And the showing forth Christ's death is not something that is only tied to the moment of you partaking of these elements. It's a perpetual obligation that is placed upon you. Your life is to be an ever-present testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for you. Paul says in Romans 12:1, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." All of your members, all of your faculties, all of your being is to be a witness to the death of Christ. That means when you go to work, your actions and words are to show forth Christ's death. You are to bear testimony to your co-workers and boss and clients and to the great salvation that you have received, no matter if it may cost you your job. When you're in the school, you are to show forth Christ's death by proclaiming the gospel to your fellow students and teachers and all who you encounter, no matter if it may cost you your friends or your reputation. When you're in the home, you're to show forth Christ's death and how you love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Or in how you respect and submit to your husband, who is your spiritual head. Children, you show forth Christ's death in respect to how you obey your parents in the Lord. These obligations of the covenant do not end when you leave this building, but they continue till he come. There's also a duty, the duty of praying that the Spirit would make the sign and seal of the covenant effectual in your heart and life. Meditate upon what is proclaimed to you in the preaching of the Word and what has been given to you in the sacrament. Pray that the Lord would cause it to quicken you, giving you a fresh, invigorated faith, which desires to fulfill the obligations that you have just taken upon yourself. Ask the Lord to use this covenant meal as a means to comfort you in times of affliction, that it would be a constant reminder that no matter what comes your way, no matter what trials or tribulations you go through, no matter what temptations you may face, that you are in Christ, and nothing, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let this sacrament renew your covenant with God and your love for other people. Sitting at a table and sharing a meal with someone is one of the most intimate things that we do. How much more should sitting at the Lord's table and sharing this sacramental meal cause you to grow more and more in your love and affection for one another? And then let this meal drive you to a heart of gratitude, of thankfulness to God for what He has done. This afternoon, we will have a Thanksgiving service to do just that corporately as a people. But your thanksgiving ought not end simply because the minister pronounces the benediction. You ought to live a life of thanksgiving. And dear friends, if this is not the result of your heart after partaking of the sacramental meal, then there is great need for further self-examination and repentance. Humble yourself before the Lord and ask that He make these things real to you. See what sin lies within you. See what sin is hidden within yourself and keeping these things from becoming real, and confess them unto the Lord. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will hear your prayers and He will answer them. But perhaps you're here today and none of this applies to you because you've never been made partakers of this covenant. You're still dead in your trespasses and sins in need of a Savior. And if that's you today, then the call upon you is to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to wash away your sins with His blood and to clothe you in His righteousness. Do not say to yourself that you will wait until some other day. Friends, today is the day of salvation. You're not promised tomorrow. Bend the knee to Christ. Submit yourself to Him. Make covenant with Jehovah and fulfill your covenantal duties. Brothers and sisters, this table is set before you. This covenant has been made with you. The Lord is your God and you are His people. There's an invitation to you this day. Come and sit at the King's table. Come and commune with your risen Savior and your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Come and partake of the elements of bread and wine, feasting on Christ in a real spiritual way. Friends, renew your covenant and partake of this covenant meal. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we do thank you that you have given us this covenant meal. This means by which we are sealed with that covenant of grace, sealed with the blood of Christ. Lord, ready our hearts to receive this meal with gladness, with thanksgiving, with joy. Lord, feed us spiritually in this meal, just as you have now fed us spiritually with your word. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.